Vance, come on up, brother.
You want to be a favor?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Yeah. What a beautiful crowd out there today. You're not too intimidating. I am going to talk about why I allowed myself to be considered for elder ordination. I think that's what George and Rock and Rod, everybody wanted me to talk about. Simply put, the church is important, especially this church, because it is the body of Christ. Get closer, is that better? Sorry. It is, wow, that's too loud. Okay. It is the body of Christ. It is a growing, living organism, and it is serving God, and I want to be a part of it. So the church succeeds when it operates in accordance with God's holy word and uses spiritual gifts that God gives us. So this is going to be a precursor to the Bible study on Wednesday night, George. We'll talk about some spiritual gifts, okay? Okay. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that tells us what to do concerning Christian fellowship. Did we get that on there? Okay, fine. I'm going to do a lot of reading today. We're talking about gifts and spiritual gifts. One of mine is not preaching, I'll just let you know. So I'm going to be on script. Okay, Acts 1, 41 through 42. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14, 26, what then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up. In Hebrews 10, 24, 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So to me, that's one of the most important things of our church, is support for each other. These scriptures support the idea of gathering, about fellowship, about corporate worship, and about teaching. The next scripture talks about the importance of the individual and their talent that contributes to the success of the church, the body of Christ. Of course, just hearing our beautiful music a while ago, we have talent, but there are spiritual gifts as well. Our worship team is awesome. So this is, you're familiar with this, it's long, it's 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 31. It talks about the one body and the many parts. But it's a good reminder, and we'll just come back to it. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. So, what are these spiritual gifts? There's many of them. You know, it breaks my heart that the spiritual gifts don't seem to be taught and emphasized much throughout the Christian kingdom these days. The utilization is critical for the church to function properly in society, and I just don't think we spend much time on the spiritual gifts. Paul taught, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Let us use them in proportion to our faith. That comes from Romans 12:6. The spiritual gifts are found in three major passages. That's Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. The lists are not exactly identical. Some overlapping occurs. According to God, the Holy Spirit gives out the gifts as he deems necessary for the proper functioning of the church body. The gifts may be organized in several ways. Most common groupings are establishing gifts. That comes from Ephesians. And that is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastor teacher. These gifts are used primarily for planting and growing churches. And I know this church came about by some gifts of people planting this church. Supporting gifts, prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, administration, leadership, and mercy. These gifts are used primarily to organize and administrate the church so it may best carry out its responsibilities. Then there's the ministry gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, helps, administration, leadership, distinguishing spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. These are the tools that the Holy Spirit utilizes for the ongoing ministry of the church. It goes without saying that congregations are spiritually impotent when their members do not freely and responsibly allow the Holy Spirit to manifest God's ministry and power through the gifts he has given. And I feel this church has many gifts. That's what attracted me to this church. There's so many spiritually gifted people. I mean, look at Terry as an example, our pastor, fantastic preaching, knows the Word of God. You know, and George and Rock and Rob, I mean, everybody here are just so full of the Spirit, and you can see it freely flow. Okay, according to 1 Corinthians, Romans, and Ephesians, there are many spiritual gifts. Some are obvious in their definition, and some need some explaining or definition. I was curious of the compiled list and their meanings or functions. So as I go through these, see if you hear your gift. Some of these are self-explanatory, like administration, you know, ability to organize. One that kind of struck me was apostleship. Now, that's the ability to pioneer new churches and planting churches and training. I never knew that. That was a gift that I did not realize was identified as apostleship. Craftsmanship. This is the ability to plan, build, and work with your hands in construction environments to accomplish multiple ministry applications. Discernment. Spiritually identify falsehoods. Evangelism, to help non-Christians take the necessary steps to become a Christian. Exhortation, here's another one. I never thought about this, but the gift of exhortation is divine strength or ability to strengthen, comfort, or urge others into action through either the written or spoken word based on biblical truths. Faith, everybody has faith, but I think in different degrees. Another spiritual gift is giving. Some people have the ability to give and are very generous. Healing, that's obvious. Helps, supportive roles. Hospitality, here's a different one. Ability to create warm and welcoming environment for others in such places, not only as your church, but your home and your work. Intercession, the ability to stand in the gap in prayer for someone or something. A lot of that in this congregation. Word of knowledge is the divine strength or ability to bring truth to a situation by supernatural revelation. Leadership, that's another obvious one. Mercy, ability to feel empathy and to care for those who are hurting in any way. The gift of miracles. The gift of pastor and shepherd. The gift of prophecy. This is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to a right relationship with God. Prophecy was always kind of confusing to me because I always thought it kind of was predicting the future. But that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy, when you use God's word, it's the truth. An example is if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be in heaven. You'll be saved. That's a prophecy. It's God's truth. Another one is service, ability to do small or great tasks in working for the overall good of the body of Christ. Teaching, tongues, word of wisdom, ability to understand and bring clarity to situations. Since I'm being considered as an elder, what do I think my spiritual gifts are that would benefit this church? I think administration, I think giving, I think hospitality, helps, service, teaching, and leadership. Now, these were developed in me over time by the Holy Spirit and by God, putting me in situations that would develop these gifts. It often takes time for gifts to mature and develop into their full effectiveness. Spiritual gifts come in the rough. Every believer is obligated to mature his or her gift. Each Christian should have an opportunity to use his or her gifts interdependently with others. That's specifically in Romans 12:4 through 6. Now, my history was that I was placed in leadership positions early on in life. As a Boy Scout of age 13, I was invited to a national leadership camp at Philmont, New Mexico. And after a week of training, I was chosen to be the senior patrol leader, which is the leader of the troop. And that was on a national basis. That was quite an honor and totally unexpected. While I was in college, I became president of the Young Episcopalians Youth Group. I became president of the Interfaith Council. When I went to pharmacy school, I became president of the Student Pharmacy Association. After graduation, I became president of the Kentucky Pharmacists Association. I just can't say no. My point is that God was preparing me all along becoming a leader and to teach leadership to my scouts and to others, and even to start a leadership program here in Mercer County through the Rotary Club, by the way, which I became president of the Rotary Club too. I have always wanted to serve others, which also started in Scouts with all our service projects, and in the Rotary Club, where the motto is service above self. And of course, we stop here for a minute about Memorial Day. You're talking about service above self as our military and remembering those that died for us. I just like helping others and doing my part. It is just built in me by the Holy Spirit. Now, another illustration of God developing my gift of exhortation, which I just learned what that meant, helps and hospitality was in my career as a pharmacist. I honestly cared for my patients. I learned to show compassion for those in pain, both physical and mental. I tried to win the disgruntled over by going out of my way to listen and to understand their particular problems. I tried to put myself in their place. If they had just lost a loved one or discovered that they had cancer, many times I did not know their issues, but I tried to be sensitive. These efforts had to be developed and practiced to continue to serve both my customers and to serve God. I was trying to show what a Christian should do in these situations. Now, my closing thought is that you should try to discover and develop your spiritual gifts, if you may already know them, and offer those to the church and to others. Because when you stop to think about it, isn't it amazing that God wants to use us Christians to be and build His church, even in spite of our sins and our shortcomings? God allows us to be part of His church. He even gives the church members being like parts of a physical body vividly showing this teaching. That is how much God loves us. That in spite of our sin, He sees something beautiful that He can use. And I hope you know, and I hope that you know the God of the Bible. He is an amazing God, and He wants and desires a personal relationship with you. And in doing that, we can bring Him glory. Sometimes God gives us gifts just for a short time to accomplish His task. Then you don't have that gift anymore. But that's okay. You do have other gifts. All Christians do. Find yours. Be the church that God designed. Amen. Anybody got any questions? They said I might expect questions. I can give you, there's a two-page thing, lists about 22 definitions, and you're welcome to that, okay? Oh, you want my testimony? Okay. Well, it's on my computer. I can send it to the powers to be. I don't know. Is this recorded? Do y'all still do that? Okay. All right. George, you want to fill in some more time? Or?
Praise the Lord. I believe that God gifts the people that He puts in position of leadership, and I know that God gifts all the body of Christ. Every one of you here have a gift. Every one of you are gifted spiritually because you're a believer. All believers have gifts. Ministration, helps. Name some of the others. What do you think your giftings are? Music. Go ahead. Giving. Gifts of giving. Encouragement. Faith. Service. Big one. Unless you pray. If my people are who are called by my name, he says, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And there's a lot more to that. But that's the gist of what prayer, intercessory prayer, is so vital to the church. If we aren't praying, we aren't growing. We aren't leaning upon the one who gives us the strength that we need to be able to do what we do. I'm going to tell you something. Music is a gift. This is a gift up here. The preaching of the Word is a gift. Being able to rightly divide the Word of truth is a gift. On Wednesday night, I'm going to be sharing about spiritual gifts, and we're going to dive into some Scripture, and we may be here till midnight. Depends on how many people show up and how much involvement there is, because we want to give you an opportunity to grow and to learn more about spiritual gifts. So important to the body of Christ today are the gifts of the Spirit. I hear some pastors say, talking about the spiritual gifts and things, and I wonder if they really know what they're talking about sometimes. But I want to take and expound upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but we're going to go back to examples in the book of Acts where the ministry gifts were being utilized so that you can see them in operation by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I love what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. The very first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now that word ignorant is not a bad word. It literally just means to be unlearned. To not have the insight to these gifts. I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the spiritual gifts. I want you to know about them, basically is what he's saying. I want you to understand them and understand the operation of them and to know how to utilize them and to be able to discern, rightfully discern, whether it be a gift of the Spirit or whether it just be of the flesh. We all have gifts. We all have gifts. If you're a believer, you have a gift. You need to discern what your gift is. And if you'll do that, God will begin to use you in that. He'll begin to use you in that gifting. I love the spiritual gifts. I love being used in the word of knowledge and the gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I love the spiritual gifts. I love being utilized, having that anointing. And it's that anointing that breaks the yokes of bondage in the lives of people. In my life. It's that anointing of God that comes. And when the anointing comes, you know it. You know when the anointing is there. And whenever it's just, okay, it's just me. You know the difference. Everybody does. But we all are gifted. Each one of you sitting here today have gifts. So my word to you this morning, my encouragement to you this morning, is to pray and ask God what your gifting is if you don't know. If you don't know what God wants you to do, everybody needs a purpose, don't we? If without purpose in life, we just end up wandering. Everybody needs that purpose. That gifting can be the purpose. And they go together. They go together. The gifting and the purpose. Because the purpose will motivate you to utilize that gift. And help you to utilize that gift. And the purpose will also cause you to be driven to fulfill that gift. So with that, Brother Rock, got a song that we want to close with? But Wednesday night, 7 o'clock here in the main sanctuary here, we'll open it up to questions and answers. And Rod will be here with me, I believe, right? You will be here with me. Rock, if he can possibly be here, will be here with me. The leadership of the church will be here. And we'll do everything we can to answer all the questions. And if we can't answer the questions, we'll find the answers in the Word of God. And we'll base everything book, chapter, and verse. Because I believe that if you get away from book, chapter, and verse, you can get into error. And I don't want to do that. I believe that every question is answered. Every question is answered through book, chapter, and verse. Amen? Rock?
Amen. This song we're going to close with is called "We Will Draw Near to You." And Brother John, I wish that I'd known that the team knew that when you preached, because this would have been the perfect song, to, in my opinion, with the thrust and theme of your message to close it out. And so, I don't know if all y'all know this. If you just want to sit and sing, it's fine. I don't think you have to stand all the time, but anyway.
We will draw near to you. Jesus, we hear you calling. There is no fear here in your perfect love. We will draw near. We will draw near to you, knowing that as we do, you will draw near. You will draw near to us. Mary, who found a better part.
Now the brothers.
We want to be like John, who laid his head upon your heart. We are not content to worship from afar. Draw us near. We hear you calling. There is no fear here in your perfect love.
We will draw near.
We will draw near to you, knowing that as we do, you will draw near. You will draw near to us.
Ladies,
we want to be like Mary, who found the better part.
Brothers,
we want to be like John, who laid his head upon your heart. We are not content to worship from afar. Draw us near. knowing that as we do, you will draw near to us. You will draw near to us.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gathering of the church today. Not in the church, but we are the church, Lord. Thank you for the gifts that you gave that help the way we see life. Lord, thank you for the gifts you gave that manifest your power that sometimes come upon us to do work of ministry. Lord, thank you for the power you give us when we seek to have the Holy Spirit released inside us in his fullness, Lord. The power that comes from that to live, just to live godly for you, Lord. Thank you so much. It makes a difference in our lives. Pray for my brothers and sisters, though some of them are going to have a good week, some of them are going to have a bad week. But Lord, that they would just keep your eyes on you and remember that Daniel wasn't taken out of the lion's den, but you shut the mouth of the lions, left him in there. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, in the fire they were, you didn't take them out, but you walked through the fire with them, walked in there with them. And Lord, sometimes we want to be rescued from trials and tribulations and hard times, but we know that builds character in us and helps us to be more merciful to other people as they go through things. So, Father, we just ask that you would use whatever comes this week and we'd keep our eyes on you and see what you want to do in us and through us with those events, and that we would give the glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hang around and visit for a while, y'all.